Hey there, welcome to Lie Number 48. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're going to be talking about I need to prove my point.
You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.
Before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to leave a rating and a review. They always mean so much to me and just encourage me and also just champion me on to keep going. So thank you for just taking a few seconds of your time to open up the app, scroll down after you search on What's the Truth and leave a rating and review. And I also wanted to let you know that I do have a 5-day devotional for women that really just struggle with knowing their worth, knowing their identity in Christ. And the 5-day devotional is all about 5 lies women believe about their identity and worth. So I'll make sure to include that in the link in the show notes below. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the main focus that I want to talk about today. A point proven is not worth a heart lost. The Lord just keeps reminding me of this one sentence phrase. A point proven is not worth a heart lost. I feel like we've come to this place where disagreement has become hatred, and we want to prove our point, and that's morphed into just words that we would say, that we say online that we necessarily wouldn't say offline. And it's really morphed from disconnection instead of understanding. I'm not saying that we're not going to have different opinions or that having different opinions is bad. But when we get to a point in disagreement where it just goes on and on without actually understanding, without actually saying, okay, I can see your perspective. This is why I see it this way. We just start to go down this road where we belittle and we form disconnection, and there's no room for understanding. Now, Jesus's word always trumps my opinion. His word will always trump what I feel, what I say, or what I want to say, but really in the end, my opinion and my feelings. And I think more than ever, we've learned this year how much social media can be an influence for disagreements and how it can feed the hatred, or let's just be honest, the pain in our hearts. It can make the pain seem so much bigger. And more than ever, we felt isolated and misunderstood. And so here, I just want to encourage you that it is okay if somebody doesn't see things the way that you see them. Trust me, I am learning this the same as you. I am constantly praying, okay, how can I not let my flesh or my anger or any of those emotions that really are just leading me to death? And how can I say, okay, this person is not disagreeing with me to attack my identity or my worth? Now, I guess I should preface to say, maybe some people do. Maybe some people attack us with their words to put us down and to degrade us and to make us feel small. There are so many scenarios to this, but I want you to hear my heart overall is that most people do not intentionally pursue conversations just to belittle you or to attack your identity and worth. Again, a point proven is not worth a heart lost. See, a place where disagreement has become a place of hatred just to prove my point. And I want to talk about how disagreement has morphed us into disconnection instead of understanding. We are allowed to have differing opinions. Can we all agree on that? That's why I'm rephrasing this. We can all have different opinions. I mean, think about it. God created us so differently with different viewpoints and perspectives. But guess what? Jesus would always trump my opinion. Now, in 1 Corinthians 8:1-2, Paul is talking about, let me go ahead and read it. It says, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. let me go ahead and give you a little bit of background of what this, you know, in 1 Corinthians 8:1-2, of who is Paul talking to and the background about why he's saying this. In the book of Corinthians, Paul has been answering questions due to the pagans' customs in this day. And in this particular passage, he's beginning to talk about foods offered to idols. And most of the religious systems in that day, except Judaism, worship multiple gods. So this wasn't something new that Paul would be talking about or addressing. But we see, though, that food became a god to people, and it became an offering and a sacrifice. So in this particular passage, Paul is referring to food sacrificed to idols. And so therefore, Paul is addressing the questions whether or not if Christians should eat the food. And he's answering questions that he's probably talked to or dealt with and things like that. So there's two sides of this that we can see. One, it's just food, regardless of what it went through, right? Like, we know that some people believe at this time where it's just food, and I know where my heart is, and I know that I worship God, and it doesn't matter if this food was worshiped here. It's just food, regardless of what it went through. And then the other side of this is they felt that the food was defiled because of the sacrifice, even though they know that their heart is towards God, that they worship God, but they still felt like the food was defiled. Now, again, I want to kind of wrap this up into a point proven is not worth a heart loss, is that Paul is going to begin to address that, hey, you guys are missing the point here, because there's this battle of you shouldn't be eating the food. It's been sacrificed to idols versus no, it's okay. I worship God. I know where I'm at, where I stand. Now let's get to the main point, is that Paul shares how they are missing the point, and that the issue isn't the condition of the food as much as the condition of the person's heart who was eating it. I know that if I'm eating food, that I can be worshiping God, right? It all comes back to conscience. It comes back to motives. It comes back to why we're doing the thing that we're doing. Then we see two sides again, where it's the heart of the person eating it. And the second side is the heart of the person who observed the person eating it. I want us to take this away. As believers, we should not only know what God views as right or wrong, but also how our actions impact others. And we can go on to say how our words impact others. People are watching what you do more than what you say. And with social media, more people are watching what you say more than what you do. And I'm going to encourage us that we be one person. I felt the Lord just press in my heart that social media is causing us to be two separate people. It's causing us to be one person online. It's challenging us to become one person offline. If we wouldn't say offline, we should not be saying it online. Because again, as believers, we should not only know what God views as right and wrong, but also how our actions impact others and our words. This one gets me every time when I think about it, is that our witness is more important than my personal opinion. Our witness, so what we do, what I do, is more important than my personal opinion. Here, I guess I feel like I should do these prefaces because we are going to have opinions, and there are going to be people that God has raised up to speak truth that's going to cause this feeling of discord, and because they want to bring the truth according to the scripture, right? So there is going to be opinion, but then there's always going to be, what is God's opinion of my opinion? Again, it always goes back to Jesus' word trumps my opinion. So it's a little bit different than a personal opinion versus what we believe we are standing on as far as God's word and God's truth. Your witness is more important than your personal opinion. Did anybody just squirm in their seat a little bit? Because that is a hard, hard pill to swallow. Because when somebody disagrees with us, we think it's an attack on who we are. At least, maybe that's just me. When somebody disagrees with me, I instantly go to this place of insecurity. You know why? Because there's this pain point inside my heart that the Lord has constantly been working on me, is that, Jessica, you're not smart enough. Jessica, you aren't valued. Jessica, your knowledge, you're just not good enough. Like, there are these lies that come to me when somebody disagrees with me versus just looking at it very objectively of, this person has a different opinion than me. That doesn't mean that I have to call them a name or do these things or speak these words that I can't take back, or actions that I also cannot take back. Our knowledge has become more important than walking in love with our friends and our family. And Paul, in this passage and continuing moving forward, I just gave you two verses, but Paul is stressing that walking in love is more important than being right. And I guess I want to say as well is that walking in love looks different for everybody. We have God's love, and that's the universal love, but to apply it, it looks different. I've talked about this before, but you don't love your husband the same as you do towards your kids or towards your best friend. It's different kinds of love, but the same love. And I think that that is really important because when we say things like, well, Jesus said it this way, we have to remember that Jesus also knew his audience. Therefore, we should be knowing the audience that we're speaking to and how we're speaking to them. He spoke according. He healed according. He didn't just heal everybody. Let me preface that. He healed everybody. But he healed all those who touched him, who came to him. He went about healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Scripture tells us that. What I wanted to say is that we see even the man at the well, and he says, do you want to be made well? Like Jesus literally asked this man. He didn't just heal the man. He asked the man. And I think that we have to take into account how he loves each person according to the person that he's in front of. He loved according to his audience. Whew, I don't know about you, but that changes how I love the person in front of me. It's the same thing with theology. I've wrestled with this. There's been times where I have been so afraid to just get it wrong. Maybe you can agree with me. Come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. I'd love to hear your heart on this. Come send me a DM. But there's been times where I have just wrestled with getting it wrong. Like, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to get it wrong. And you can study the Bible all day long and you can know all about the Bible. And you can win a theological debate and lose the war for a person's heart. Because we want to prove our point so bad. And we want to say, this is how it is. And this is what God's word says. And this is how you should be doing it. That we actually forget the person in front of us. That we're supposed to be making disciples of Jesus and the word and of God, not of ourselves. Whew. Another one. Does that make you squirm in your seat a little bit too? I don't want people to follow me. I want people to follow Jesus. But in order for people to follow Jesus, they will see how I work and how I do and what I do. So in a sense, they do follow me to follow Jesus, even though they're following Jesus as well. And we see that throughout scripture in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Paul's not saying that you should follow me, but he's leading other people into Christ. So he's saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because if you imitate me as I imitate Christ, you're also going to be imitating Christ. But you should still pursue Christ yourself. See, our problem with the knowledge is that it tries to exalt itself against practical application. This can be thrown into theology or what we know versus what other people might not know. Maybe people didn't know that food sacrificed to idol might not have been a big deal because they believed in Christ and that it was purified, right? They didn't know that. But with our own knowledge, we can exalt it against practical application of what this looks like in our everyday lives. I just want to say the condition of the food was insignificant compared to the issue of keeping unity. Love will always be superior to knowledge, always. Let's learn to build character more than merely gathering information. Let's build unity and create unity even in the midst of disappointment or disagreements or whatever it is, because a point proven is not worth a heart lost. Our witness needs to stay strong. Our understanding needs to be there. We need to have kind words and a tender heart. And that looks like Jesus working in you and through you. You can say the words of Jesus and you can live the words of Jesus, but how you do those things, they still matter. You can tell somebody to not hold offense. You can tell somebody that they shouldn't be offended, but the tone, how you say it, all of those things still go into the words that you speak. I hope you heard my heart on this conversation. We can continue it over on Instagram again at Jessica Hoddle. But this whole idea of a point proven is not worth a heart loss is just merely saying, can we open up a conversation? Because trust me, again, I am there with you. I want to be able to have disagreements that morph into understanding and not disconnection. I want to be able to hear what somebody has to say without taking it as a personal attack and be willing to understand what they're really saying or what they've been through, because we've all been through different experiences. We all are being worked on by God with something different. He's championing us and calling us up. But I want to remind us again, as I just keep saying throughout this, is that Jesus's word always trumps our opinion. Thank you for just hanging out with me. I know that there are a lot of podcast episodes where I go deeper. I know I love to go deeper. I love to challenge just the way that you think, to change the way you live. That's why this podcast was birthed, and I'm constantly being challenged in my own life, and I want to challenge you. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for listening to my heart. And thank you for being willing to have disagreement that is morphed into understanding instead of disconnection. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.